Good after, I guess it's evening. Good evening, everyone. I'm going to call the meeting to order and welcome to the first council meeting of 2020. A couple things I want to say just before we get started. I want to draw to everyone's attention that we have a new procedural bylaw in effect. So council chose some changes to our procedural bylaw, and they were actually in effect as of the our last meeting at the confirmatory bylaw. So I'm going to explain a few of the changes throughout the next few meetings. There's a few things I want to point out just tonight. So the meetings will work a little differently than they have been for the last few years, so just so you're not caught off guard. So tonight, we're having two distinct meetings. There'll be a council meeting, we'll adjourn the council meeting, and then there'll be the committee of the whole meeting, and that will adjourn. This means that any items that are discussed in the committee of the whole meeting will go to the next council meeting, rather than being discussed again at council the same evening as we have been doing. So this slows down decision making. It allows that sober second thought before decisions are ratified at council. So how you'll see this, can we just scroll down on the, oh, thanks, Guy. So how you'll see the decisions that come from Cow, it's letter L. It'll come up as committee of the whole report. We do have one. We don't have none. We have one. So just remove the N there. We only have one report tonight on the committee of the whole side. This is actually going to be the fastest meeting probably of the year on both the council and the committee of the whole side. Another thing I want to point out is we have an addition of a moment of silent meditation. So that's just a moment of calm reflection before council gets down to business. That happens right after O Canada. Annually, we'll be making a land acknowledgement. And tonight, you'll notice item E. We're giving notice of that land acknowledgement that'll be taking place at our next meeting on January 28th. Another change is that meetings may be recorded if prior permission has been given by the clerk. Requests to do this must be received by the clerk by noon the day before the meeting. So for a Tuesday council meeting, you need to be in touch with the clerk before noon on a Monday. And I would underline that recording can only happen while council or committee is in session, not during breaks, not after adjournment. And the last item I'll draw to your attention, because it is it does pertain to how we will do business tonight. Notices of motion may be discussed when they appear on the committee of the whole agenda. That's a change from previously. They would appear on the agenda and we would discuss it 2 weeks later. So rather than a delay on that discussion, and you'll see on the committee of the whole side tonight, there is a notice of motion and that'll be discussed tonight. So those are a few of the changes. There's lots more coming, so come on back next week and I'll share more with you. But that's a few just to help understand how things will be a little bit different tonight. And as I say, they'll both be short meetings, so you chose a good meeting to come to. So with that, there was no consideration of a closed session, so we'll move right into O Canada. And I'd ask that you remain standing for a moment of silent reflection after O Canada. think I said all that before I got gone. And as I had mentioned, we'll be moving forward, we'll be having an annual dedication to Indigenous peoples, acknowledging the unceded territory. So just to give a little bit of information about what has been occurring leading up to this acknowledgement and what will be happening then next, our next meeting on the 28th. About a year ago, I started working with Bev Hunter and Sue Evans from Mississippi Mills, All My Relations. And they are a group here, a local group in our community. They are interested in restoring the relationship of trust and friendship between Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples in our country and right here in our community in Mississippi Mills. Their mission is to respond to the calls to action that are outlined in the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in a respectful and concrete and doable way. So I've been very privileged to work with Bev and Sue. Through them, I've had the honor of meeting Elder Larry McDermott, who is working in a capacity with the All My Relations group. And when Sue and Bev introduced me to Elder McDermott, I asked if he would be willing to help me and this council, as well as we seek to open a dialogue about truth and reconciliation, and he was very much amenable to that. And just to give a little bit of information about Larry McDermott, he's an elder, an Algonquin elder from Lanark. Lanark Highlands, I should say. And he's also the executive director of Plenty Canada, which is an Indigenous cultural and environmental nonprofit. Larry is currently a member of numerous organizations, including the International Indigenous Forum for Biodiversity, the Canadian Environmental Network, and UNESCO. Elder Larry was a former three-time mayor and a longtime counselor of Lanark Highlands. He was also the warden for Lanark County, and he was the first chair of the Rural Forum for the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. Elder Larry was a commissioner for the Ontario Human Rights Commission, was on the Ontario Species at Risk Public Advisory Committee, and he has received an honorary doctorate of laws from the University of Guelph. So we're very fortunate to have someone as accomplished and as widely accomplished, I should say, helping us with this process. Councillor Maiden joined us at our latest meeting of Nations, and I'm humbled to say that Elder Larry will be here next week, our next meeting in 2 weeks' time, as well as both Bev and Sue from the Mississippi Mills All My Relations, and Marie Lapointe, who is a family head and a member of the Council of Ardoc Algonquin First Nations, who also is playing a role of a leadership and help to the Mississippi Mills All My Relations. So we'll have some special guests with us next week, and I have to say it's been a very meaningful and learning process for me to be involved, and I thank Councillor Maiden for joining me in that process as well. With that, attendance, Madam Clerk.
Thank you all in attendance, Your Worship.
Thank you. Disclosure of pecuniary interest in general nature thereof. You can make that statement at this time or when the item comes on the agenda, if that pertains to you. We have approval of the minutes from the council. What did I miss? Oh, I missed the approval of the agenda. Approval of the agenda. Mover and seconder for the approval of the agenda. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Dalgety, all those in favor? Thank you. And now approval of the minutes from the council meeting dated December 17th, 2019. Mover and seconder. Councillor Holmes, Councillor Ferguson, all those in favor? Thank you. That carries. We have no delegations, deputations, or presentations. There's no public meeting. And there is one. Move that N out of there. Strike that N out of there. There is one report of the Committee of the Whole, and that is to appoint a new Committee of the Whole chair. So the recommendation is that Council appoint Councillor Dalgety as Committee of the Whole Chair commencing January 1st, 2020 until June 30th, 2020 in accordance with the Section 22 of Bylaw Number 19-127, which is our procedural bylaw. Mover and seconder for this? Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Maiden. Discussion? All those in favor? There we go. You were our new Committee of the Whole Chair. Councillor Dalgety, congratulations. And we have four bylaws: the interim tax levy, temporary boring, and two part lot control bylaws. I'm looking for a mover and seconder for these four bylaws. Councillor Dalgety, Deputy Mayor Minnelli, are any of these bylaws ones that a member would like to pull for separate vote or discussion? Councillor Girard?
Number two.
Temporary borrowing?
Yes, please.
Okay. Is there any other item that someone would like to discuss? Okay, seeing not then, I would call the vote on numbers 20-001 and 20-003, 20-004. All those in favor? Thank you. Councillor Girard, temporary borrowing.
Thank you. Through the chair, I guess because our treasurer is not here, I'll put this direction to our CAO. For the temporary borrowing, it was brought to our attention at our beginning of our term when we were doing our first budgeting meeting. I actually asked why we had $1.1 million sitting in our reserves, and I was told that that was for this exact purpose, and I'm not sure, have we ever actually used this temporary borrowing procedure? And if not, why aren't we just using what's in reserves?
Good point. I'm not aware that we've used this money in the past. Given my time here short, I'm not familiar with the history, and that question didn't come up when we were discussing this, so I can't speak to that. We can bring it back to the treasurer. She's been here 20 plus years. I'm sure she can speak to how often we actually have to use this. But I mean, as you can see, this is basically a backstop. This is what you have in case you run into issues. I think your question was, why aren't we using the reserves? Reserves are also earmarked for other purposes as opposed to this as well. So,
I actually requested, and she talked to the auditor, and the $1.1 million that had no heading on it was actually set aside specifically for this purpose. So it was already written into the reserves as it was money that's been sitting there, but there was no name for it. But it's for basically if we don't get enough taxes paid, if we need to pay accounts. So I'm just not sure why we have to possibly borrow money when we supposedly have it sitting in reserves.
Yeah, and again, you know, probably further that one of the things that you're trying to do also is cash flow management. Sometimes the bills come in and they're a little bit more. This might be an attempt to have two pockets of money to cash flow projects. If we do get a call or a draw for a large construction project or something like that, that we do have the funds available, and we can, as the year goes on, then you can fund that back with operating money. So I would think that this is prudent to try and have, it's not necessary that we're going to use the money, it's there in case, right? That's what we're setting up here.
If I can add something that might clarify, Councillor, the sum you're referring to in the budget would be utilized if someone doesn't pay taxes, because the municipality, whether or not Joe Blow pays their taxes, we must remit their county taxes, their policing tax, and their education amounts. So that million is there sort of as a safety net, so that we have something we can pay those, pay on behalf of that that taxpayer, without dipping into any other kind of emergency funding or whatnot. And there always are people who are unable to pay their taxes for whatever reason. So it's there so that we can go ahead and pay the bills on their behalf without incurring any kind of
penalties.
Yeah, a penalty, exactly, because those fees to the county, the policing bill, and the education amounts must be paid regardless if we are given payment from the taxpayer. So they're, in a sense, a bit of a different, they're two different intentions behind the two pots of money here. And my understanding with the temporary borrowing is really it's only there if it's needed. We don't borrow the money unless we need to borrow the money.
So again, it's a cash flow management tool.
Were there any other questions about the temporary borrowing bylaw? Councillor Holmes?
Thank you. Just a comment. I did talk to the treasurer today about this, and we didn't actually use it yet last year, no. So it was a good backstop to have. Mm-hmm. So it's not used lightly.
No. I can't recall us using it in my 5 years. Not to say I'm not the treasurer, but I don't recall us using it. Something we could clarify from the treasurer for sure. Is there any other discussion on this one? Do I need another mover and seconder? A separate? So I need a mover and seconder then for the temporary borrowing bylaw, please. Deputy Mayor Minnelli, Councillor Dalgany, further discussion? Okay, seeing not, all those in favor? Thank you, that carries. Any announcements or invitations? We're partied out, from Christmas and New Year's. So, Deputy Mayor Minnelli, if you can use your microphone, because we're recording on our own system, and if you're not talking into the microphone, then you're not going to be recorded. Oh, isn't that a sign of something?
It's a fall far from being the chair to not even having your mic turned on. Thanks a lot. Just announcement, I'll be away from the 6th of February till the 16th. I won't be missing any scheduled meetings, but if there's any scheduled between then, I won't be able to be to make it. Thank you very much.
Noted. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Any other announcements or invitations? Councillor Holmes.
This might be a good point, just to mention that the Mississippi Valley Conservation Authority issued a flood outlook statement on January the 13th after the significant rainfall. And it's posted on their website as well as we have it on our news feed. But essentially, there is a risk of ice jams or frazzle ice increasing river levels, and they're advising students or residents to keep a close watch on levels and flows. And they're also reminding everyone to be extremely cautious around the water bodies because they're flowing, and they'll continue to monitor. And I think we're getting some more snow this week, so I'm sure there'll be an update.
Okay, thank you for that. Any other invitations or announcements? Okay, seeing not, a mover and seconder for the confirmatory bylaw. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Holmes, all those in favor? Thank you, and mover and seconder for adjournment. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Girard, all those in favor? Thank you, we're adjourned.
We'll call the meeting to order. And welcome to the first meeting for the Committee of the Whole for 2020. Disclosure of pecuniary interests and general nature thereof, state now or prior to the item on the agenda. So approval of the agenda, can I get a mover and a seconder? Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Maiden, all in favor? Carried. Approval of the minutes, can I get a mover and a seconder for the approval of the minutes? Sorry?
There's no minutes to approve from this one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Go right to consent reports. We have one report from the library. Could I get a mover and a seconder for that report? Mayor Lowry. Yes. Councillor Holmes. Discussion? Councillor Holmes?
Yeah. To Councillor Maiden, I noticed that she was look for some funding to place a defibrillator in the library. And I'm just wondering if she was able to get that.
Yes, I had mentioned that Scott Reeder, MP, in the past has provided funding for defibrillators and has a big campaign to have them in RCMP cars across the country, actually. And contacted his office on behalf of the library board, and yes, they do provide funding for about half the cost, plus provide training. So they do provide a defibrillator, a cabinet for it, and training for the staff. And it will be going, Christine Rao, the librarian, is following it up past this for the installation in the Pakenham Library.
Any more discussion? All in favor of that report? It's carried. We have one staff report, roads and public works, seasonal road closures, with one recommendation that the Committee of the Whole recommends that the Council enact the necessary bylaw to close seasonal roads within the municipality from November 1st of the year to April 15th of the following year, as outlined in the Director of Roads and Public Works report dated January 14, 2020. Could I get a mover and a seconder for that? Councillor Maiden, Councillor Holmes. Any discussion? Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Well, I apologize I didn't get talking to the director in advance as I normally do, but I do have a significant number of questions. And I'm not trying to play lawyer on this, but I guess if you look under the second paragraph specific to discussion, where the lawyer has stated there are no minimum standards, winter maintenance is not required, but certain circumstances develop its own and restrict them. But then, and I see there's also requirements to erect signage, but it also says that there is maintenance standards required, or there is maintenance required. So I'm a bit confused on that part of it. And then I have a number of other questions, and I realize there are situations, and I'm not against private roads. I know it's an issue that we have to address, and I think we're addressing it now, but I also know the circumstances behind it, this particular one. But I really question what we have done on previous ones, and some of them, and I don't know Ramsey as well as I know Pakenham, obviously, but there's a couple that come to mind, and I wonder if we have, in fact, performed specific maintenance on them. And then going further down, I also see where there's definitions required under the bylaw, and maybe we won't get to that bylaw yet because it'll be coming up, but there are specific things, and I wonder on the timing of it, mid-season, of course, and the ones that we have addressed, have we discussed it with the affected residents? And I know there's some situations that maybe they wouldn't be affected residents, but in some situations there well may be. But again, and I don't know Ramsey as well as Pakenham, so.
Director Bergon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, the roads that were formally closing have always been closed, but not formally. What we're doing here is a bit of risk mitigation. These are all Class 6 roads, and Class 6 roads do not require a certain standard of maintenance under the provincial minimum maintenance standards. They're defined by being very, very low volume roads, especially during the off season when no traffic for the most part is using them. You might get the odd person using them, but not very many. So what we did, and it's more of a formal process to make sure that they do get formally closed, and that's why we went to our municipal solicitor to find out what the practice is in other municipalities and what they should be from a legal point of view to cover the municipality from any liability arising from their use when they're not being maintained. So in answer to your question, for certainly for the gentleman that did speak with you, Councillor Ferguson, we did had discussed that with him before he spoke to you, that in fact the road wasn't maintained previously, and the former owner that he purchased his property from was actually in fact doing the winter clearing on that road. I want to really point out that these roads, apart from being low volume roads, they were never built to a municipal standard. Now, many of them aren't wide enough. They don't have proper drainage. They don't have proper slope. They're certainly not built to a granular depth that could handle large vehicles such as our plows or even large garbage trucks that could cause damage to them, and no turnarounds for our trucks to go around. So in order to get them to that standard, we're talking in the 19 roads, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars to bring them up to standard if we wanted to, in fact, create them as year-round roads. So seeing that the history behind these is that they haven't been maintained in the past from a winter perspective, they get the occasional treatment on the gravel or on dust control as needed, but certainly not to the same extent as our open, larger granular roads. This is the process that our solicitor has, in fact, directed us to follow, and what is followed in other municipalities.
Councillor Maiden.
Through the chair, I just wanted to clarify that I had assumed that the roads on the list were municipal roads. Councillor Ferguson mentioned that they might be private roads. Could you just clarify that? And my second part of my question is, through the chair to the Director of Public Works, if, for example, one road might get more use, are they kind of generally inspected to see if maybe they should be upgraded at some time in the future?
Director Bergon?
Through the chair. Yes, in fact, these roads, the ones that are listed in the bylaw, in the schedule to the bylaw, are located on municipal right-of-ways. So the ownership lies with us. There are other components that spur off of these, many cottage roads or trailer park roads that these roads flow into. Those are all private when they leave our right-of-way, but within the road allowance, that's our ownership. And with regard, I didn't write down part two, but if you could just remind me what the second part was.
If they get enough traffic or something, you consider, do they get regularly inspected to the point where you might consider making one of them, you know, if usage warrants a non-seasonal road, like an all-weather road?
Certainly, if there was a development that occurred that was a year-round development, that would be revisited, most certainly. In the case of the gentleman with that was speaking with Councillor Ferguson, that road is for a trailer park that is shut down during the wintertime, and it's one singular residence that has made that residence year-round. So it's just one person. Most of the other roads that are either access roads to vacant fields or roads to cottages, which are similarly closed during the winter months. I did mention in my report there was a recent example on Lunny's Road in Pakenham, which is a shared road with the City of Ottawa, where a proponent on the City of Ottawa side bought a property and was making a year-round residence at the end of this road. We only winter maintained it up to the first entrance to the last house on that road, and the other part where he bought the property wasn't maintained in the past, but it became incumbent on that proponent to upgrade that road to municipal standards, after which we then have been doing winter maintenance on it. And the city is providing garbage pickup and whatnot at the end of that road. So there is opportunity in the future on these roads, depending on the amount of development that occurs, to upgrade them, but most of the time, if it is incumbent on the landowners who want it switched from a seasonal road to a year-round road to pay those costs for the upgrade.
Any more discussion? All in favor of that recommendation? It's carried. Our next item, notice of motion, Councillor Holmes. Councillor Holmes, you put this motion forward.
Thank you. Yes, I did. Certainly, there is a fair number of.
Can I get a seconder before you go ahead, please?
Sorry, yeah.
Yep. Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Okay. Sorry,
go ahead.
So there's a fair number of organic farmers in Mississippi Mills. And in order to maintain their status and be able to sell their produce, they have to maintain an area, you know, safe from their farm that is not sprayed with any type of chemical unless it's approved by the organic organization. And I'm not really familiar with all the organizations. So they are most interested in being identified and then some solutions looked at, because some of them do have a lot of wild parsnip, on some alternatives instead of spraying, because this is an economic loss for them if we spray. So the Agriculture Committee is quite anxious to take a look at this.
Any further discussion on this motion? Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, again, I'm not against this, but how do we get around that? I wonder, is it reducing the spraying in front of the organic farms? Is that kind of what the committee is referring to? Or no, is it, or doing hand digging, which we know is obvious, has its own issues?
Councillor Holmes.
So they really want to look at alternatives. Certainly one member of the committee is an organic farmer, and he has in the past used some organic products that he'd like to look at. What we really want to see is some recommendations come back. At this point in time, I really don't know what they are.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
The county uses a polymer program that plants indigenous plants in that choke out the wild parsnips, or the, what's the other indigenous plant that's wild parsnips, but the other one is Phragmites, and I don't have it. But they're using, that's something that could be looked into, and they have a student hired for the summer that looks after that program. Maybe should have time to come down and give a course, or I don't know. Thank you.
Councillor Maiden.
When we discussed wild parsnip a little earlier, I had brought forward it was kind of a congratulatory letter from the Friends of Lanark County, I think it was their name, that talking about different options to use instead of spraying. And they were interested in having some of their suggestions heard. So I would, and at the time we discussed that, and it was kind of recommended to Public Works to keep them in mind when they were planning their next spray session. And that was agreed, I think, by all of us. And so perhaps the agricultural committee could be part of, they could be part of the agricultural committee when they're looking into it. Just a suggestion.
Councillor Holmes.
I think that it can certainly be open to discussion, but I think it's more narrow what we're trying to do with the agriculture committee. And the project is really part of Public Works, so I'd see our recommendations going to Public Works. But in response to Deputy Mayor Minnelli, actually the organic farmer who is on our committee actually is part of that project. He's one of the people who has been planting, so he has a lot of information on it. So it's good.
Any more discussion? Mayor Lowry?
Through the chair to, I'm not sure if it'll be to the CAO or to the director, actually. How do you see this fitting in with the timelines that we have in front of us? Because there is the contracts with the county coming up. I believe the deadlines are a little sooner this year than they had been in previous years. And I'm wondering if you can give a little little bit of feedback as to how this can fit into the process as it's already moving forward.
CAO Kelly?
I believe the Ag Committee has a meeting that's yet to be set. The date hasn't been set for it, but we were hoping to have that meeting towards the end of the month, in particular after the next council meeting that's scheduled for the 28th. And we're hoping to bring forward information to council, a staff report at that point in time to outline what we want to do, so that the Ag Committee would actually have some information in terms of a plan to be working with. We're also anticipating that there will be some consultation with that. But you are right, the county has advanced the date that they usually want an answer from Mississippi Mills in terms of how much we're going to procure under their common tender for spraying. Usually it's about mid-February. So we are working to kind of a mid-February timeline to understand what we want to do, how much spraying we're going to be doing, and things like that. So the Ag Committee will be dealing with this in a timely manner. We hopefully have some type of motion from that committee to take to potentially, I believe it's the February 4th council meeting. Is that about the timeline that we're looking to, Guy? Yep. So that's... the timelines are fairly tight, and we're trying to work towards that. So their involvement is going to be timely, but we do need some feedback from them.
Councillor Holmes.
So given the bit of confusion, shall we say, around last year's spraying, we really do want to do it right this year. And is there any opportunity to push those timelines a little bit with the county? Given that the whole situation that with the changeover with our bylaws, I had thought that we would be voting on it tonight, but as I talked to our clerk, I realized that with the changeover, it was actually coming to the committee of the whole tonight for voting, even though it was brought up last. A meeting as an interest item. So I really hope that we're able to make a good decision and be respectful to everyone involved.
Mayor Lowry.
I was just going to say I think your motion tonight is basically to refer this to the committee and have them deal with it. That still fits in. In terms of, I think you asked, what's the county's timeline? Basically, they've outlined mid-February for us. But like I said, that is advanced to when they generally get their answer and get things out. But that is because in the past it has dragged for them in getting the feedback from the municipalities. So they're trying to get the push us to get an answer quicker so that they can actually move quicker. I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that.
Yeah, through the chair, the roads that we're going to put forward to the county, like they need to know in general the quantities that we need. There's nothing stopping us from reducing those quantities as we go forward. More people or organic farmers wish to opt out or adopt a road or anything like that, section off those sections out of it, as long as we're not talking wholesale changes to the entire program. If our council is comfortable with moving ahead with the program as it gets laid out to you on January 28th, then we'll be able to give the county the numbers they need in order to prepare their tenders and go out to tender. But again, we can always whittle a bit of that off to address those people who don't want spraying.
Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is actually a procedural one to the clerk, although I think what the director just provided in terms of information probably I think alleviates some of the concern. I'm wondering if procedurally, if this motion can be that the committee the whole directs, if it can be the committee the whole directing the Agricultural Advisory Committee rather than the committee of the whole recommending to council to direct the Ag Committee. Is that something we can do procedurally, is direct from this table?
Let me pull up their terms of reference. I believe our terms of reference for our committee say that council provides some direction, but okay. Give me 2 seconds.
You want to take 5 minutes? We'll take a 5-minute recess while the clerk looks this up. Tell me when you're good. Okay, we'll go back in the session here. Madam Clerk, read the changes, please.
So our terms of reference do indicate that matters can be referred to our advisory committees from council or committee of the whole. So we can amend this motion from Councillor Holmes to read that the committee of the whole recommend or directs that the agricultural committee bring forward options regarding royal parsnip management. Instead of it going to council first, we can just automatically direct the Ag Committee.
Mayor Lowry.
Can I move that amendment, please?
Yes, seconder, please. Councillor Maiden. All in favor of the friendly amendment? That's carried. Of the motion itself? We already have a first and seconder of Councillor Holmes' motion itself. Is there any more discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion? That's carried. We'll move on to information items. There's no mayor's report this evening. County Councillor's report, Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So there is a short list in the agenda, and I'm probably going to speak to it out of order, but I had the clerk indicate the items that were particularly of interest for Mississippi Mills. On the county council side, it was a very short meeting, but there was one decision regarding Novatech, who is their client is Menzi, who is for the Mill Run subdivision here, and county council approved the request from Novatech for a 3-year extension of their draft plan for the Mill Run subdivision. And just to provide a little bit of background and explanation, the draft plan was approved phases 2 through 5 by Lanark County in February of 2016. So the lapsing date for that draft plan of approval is February 2019. The Planning Act does allow the approval authority to extend the period of time. However, it must occur before the lapse time is upon us, so they are within their rights in that sense. There is an established fee by bylaw 206-27 that there would be a $750 fee for every 1-year extension, so that would be $750 times the 3 years. That required fee has already been paid. And in terms of Mississippi Mills' participation in this process, this is an item that has delegated authority to staff. So staff have the approval for extensions of this nature, and a letter had been received to the county planner from our director of planning with no objection to that 3-year extension. So it was approved by county council. On the committee's side, the community services portion of the evening was largely a presentation from Deloitte. And Deloitte, I've mentioned, I think, before, they are a firm that have been hired by the county to develop the strategy for the Lanark Lodge redevelopment. And just to remind everyone, by 2025, we're required to have Lanark Lodge redeveloped to be a Class A facility. Right now, it's a Class B facility. And what those classes are is whether they're meeting the standards that long-term care requires. It has to do with things like widths of doors, how a home is set up itself. Right now they're wanting them in different pods rather than how facilities have been built in the past. It was determined that a new build would be approximately $70 million. So this will be a very large expenditure, the largest expenditure actually for the county that it has ever undertaken. And so Deloitte coming on board was to help consider what options are out there. The presentation that they provided had indicated their preferences moving forward would be for Lanark County to consider one of two options. One is to build a home that's owned by Lanark County as it is now, but operated by a third party. Or the second option that they suggested was to build a new home that is both owned and operated by Lanark County as Lanark Lodge is at this time. However, there was quite a bit of discussion, and Jenny Bingley, the acting director at the Lanark Lodge, had indicated that she and other staff feel that there's more, let's say, more exploration of potential partnerships that that could occur. That there was definitely interest on the parts of some partners, but there needed to be more discussion before we could rule out partnership opportunities. And one of the other big pieces that's at play right now is what the provincial mandate might be with the Ontario Health Team. So that's a really big piece that's out there at this time. So staff didn't want to rule out any options at this time. So rather than focusing the beam, we're widening it. So that would be mean that two other options are still on the table. Both of them are partnerships. So partnerships with a non-for-profit or a partnership with a for-profit organization. So the direction that the committee gave to staff was that the CAO and Jenny Bingley, the interim director, continue to meet with potential partners and their boards to continue to flesh out these opportunities. They'll be reporting back then to the committee with what other information they're able to gather from those potential partners. And in the coming weeks and months, probably more months than weeks, we're hoping to have more information coming from the Ontario Health Teams, the mandate from the province on the Ontario Health Teams, which may help our decision making as we go forward. It's hard to say when final decisions will be made. Director Bingley had indicated probably 18 months from now is when we'll be making final decisions as to how this will be moving forward. It doesn't seem like a lot of time when 2025 is when we're to be in the new facility, but there was some interesting discussion in that there's facilities out there that are C's and D's, so those will be the province's priorities for sure. Not to say that we don't want to move towards the deadlines we have in front of us, but we are moving swiftly, but taking all opportunities into discussion and into our planning, so that even though the ball is moving, let's say we're not missing any opportunities. So there's a lot of discussion about that, but there's a lot more discussion to be had. Let me see. That was it, actually, for community services. There was a lot of discussion with Deloitte and with Director Bingley. On the corporate service side, let me just get to the thing. Here we go. So the modernization funding, which we received and the county received as well, the county received $725,000 towards that unconditional grant. And it was decided in principle how that money will be spent. Just a sec, my computer keeps freaking out here. There we go. So the first item is there was a request from the Eastern Ontario Wardens Caucus for $10,000 to go towards regional initiatives. Each of the counties involved are putting in that $10,000 so that there would be some monies available. Of course, the Wardens Caucus does have a proven track record for preparing well-researched proposals to senior levels of government. So I think that is likely money well spent. There's $200,000 earmarked to fund the development and implementation of Lanark County's Climate Action Plan. And I do have more information about that. I will get to in a moment. There's $75,000 earmarked to digitize client files and adopt an electronics document management system for Ontario Works. $40,000 to update the submission process for tenants for their information for social housing application. $100,000 for a one-year consulting service to long-term care. So this is Lanark Lodge. The goal would be to identify operational efficiencies. It could be workflow, it could be reporting, data capture, those kinds of things. And the largest spend would be $300,000 for energy efficiency upgrades in new social housing builds. And I'd remind you, there's a new build going into Carleton Place that's underway at this time. So that's the $725,000. It was largely supported around the table. Deputy Mayor Minnelli and I think, were the only two who didn't support the recommendations. Not to say they're not good projects, but I didn't feel they supported the intention of the fund. However, this was the decision of the committee, and it'll be going to County Council for approval at our next meeting. And then the last I wanted to draw your attention to is the Climate Action Plan. Just trying to find that. There's an excellent plan that will be circulated to lower tiers. There's a meeting that has not yet been confirmed with the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. A tentative date is February 4th in the afternoon at the county, where FCM will be providing information about the Climate Action Plan. This is a partnership opportunity with Federation of Canadian Municipalities. They've got some money available to put in place these plans. The money isn't for the actions out of the plan. The money is for developing the plans themselves. We will we'll certainly let everyone know if that date becomes or when that date becomes confirmed. They were saying the 4th or the following week, the 12th. But just to give a few highlights out of the Climate Action Plan, there's some initial funding requests. One is for a summer student who would work under the direction of the vegetation management intern and essentially would be the person who collects data and does research for the FCM Partners for Climate Protection Program. There's a program I mentioned last year, but I'll just remind you, it's called Renovate Lanark, and it's available to people who are of a certain income level. And the intention of that program is to help pay for things like new insulation, maybe new roof, things that will help someone be able to stay in their home and help with utility bills and whatnot. So the committee had decided to put $25,000 towards an Insulate Lanark County program. So very similar to the Renovate Lanark program. It'd be the same criteria, but it would help help folks at a certain income level to help them insulate their homes. So again, a way to try to help lower costs, but also the intention is to make an impact on carbon carbon impact on that as well. There's a tree planting program. There's very minimal money in this. It's a $2,500, and it's not exactly clear how the program would roll out. But there is an opportunity to work with both the Rideau Valley and the Mississippi Valley Conservation Authorities to increase tree planting in Lanark County. The MVCA, you can buy 2,000 trees for 15 cents a piece, but you must buy 2,000 trees. Which is a lot of trees. RVCA, you can buy 1,000 and it's that same rate, but again, you must buy 1,000. So the idea in this plan is that the county would buy however many thousand trees and have a day in Almont, maybe one in Perth, a couple different places where people can come and buy just 10 trees or 15 trees or order however many trees they want for next year. So that as a collective, we're able to take advantage of that program. So that we're not discluding people who don't have land to put thousands of trees in, to be able to plant thousands of trees. And then the last, and this is an interesting position, it's a climate/environmental services coordinator. And there's a few things that would fall under this coordinator's job. Part of it would be vegetation management. Part of it would be regarding species at risk. Part of it would be environmental impacts, and some of it would be specifically the Climate Action Plan itself. We have a rough job description for this person, and really the staff are looking for support of this position in principle. The the manager of Public Works, the business manager, Janet Tizek, will be retiring, I believe it is next year, and they're looking to adjust somewhat what her position would be moving forward, or the person who will be taking her position, I should say. So they're looking to massage things somewhat, and this position will be coming out of some of the responsibilities that Janet does now. But staff felt that this portion of her job would likely be growing, so they're seeing it as a worthy position to create in itself. So those were the four pieces coming out of the Climate Action Plan at this point, and I'd be happy to circulate the plan itself. There's quite a few items in here. Some of it is to be able to access grants. Some of it is heating and cooling homes, as I had said, with the insulation program. There's goals under forestry and agriculture. There's goals under industrial. There's goals under waste diversion, transportation, and municipal buildings themselves. So there's quite a few areas, and those four action pieces were what staff were looking for support from initially. They're looking to probably create a committee. This is all a little bit, we're learning as we go. We're still trying to figure out what exactly we're going to do, but there's a suggestion that we'll have perhaps a working group or a committee with a member from each count, with each municipality at the county, to look at projects. One of the ones that had been suggested is taking on plastics, or encouraging businesses to be able to minimize that plastics. That seemed to be a project that everyone at the table was really quite interested in. That and tree planting seemed to be the two that were resonating with people the most. As more information is available, though, they wanted this to come down to the lower tiers. The intention was that the lower tiers would have the action plan and would have that invitation when FCM does come in the next few weeks to the county, so that we're getting that same information. They're looking to work with the lower tiers as partners. So it's all very new and a little bit broad at the moment, but those were the four projects the staff were looking to start off with.
Thank you, Mayor Lowry. Do we have any... Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Just to add to that, we've only officially decided to spend $28,000 of that $750,000. The rest was just plans. They're going to, for the insulation program, I didn't think it was a good idea. I thought that they come with some kind of cost recovery, see what kind of building it's going to be. So there's going to be quite a bit of discussion before all that money's spent. What they did approve was the tree planting for $2,500 and $25,000 to hire, to go ahead and hire the student to look after it. So the rest is going to be discussion, and I'm sure there'll be lots of other things that'll come up that the money would be better spent at. I thought it was kind of just unnecessarily put out there to add up to $725,000. And I had some other ideas about charging stations and banning single-use plastics with and stuff like that. And everybody heard it, but that was the end of it. So we'll see what comes out of it from there on. We're going to keep pushing. Me and Mayor Lowry are going to keep pushing to try to have that money spent not on insulating old buildings.
Thank you. Mayor Lowry.
I can just clarify one thing. I hope I didn't make it confusing, because they're all sort of blended in. The Climate Action Plan is $200,000 of the modernization funding and whatnot. But there's a bit of a difference of opinion about how that modernization funding should be spent. When you look at the letter from Minister Clark, a couple of the things he highlighted is service delivery, collaboration and shared service agreements with other municipalities, with the goal of reduction in costs, and again, not to say any of these projects aren't good projects. I think they're excellent projects. But I think what I read in Minister Clark's letter is, you know, make this money work for you. And if that $300,000 that Deputy Mayor Minnelli is referring to, not to say that it's not a great idea to use different materials and whatnot in new social housing builds, but how long is it going to take to get that $300,000 back? You know, I think there might be other ways that we could be investing our money to see a return, hopefully annually. That's where I think they were on the right track with the Ontario Works and the social housing. They were modernizing some things, making electronic records and whatnot, records management. If that saves a position, then you know you're going to save some money annually that way, or if you can free someone up to do other work. But there was a bit of a difference of opinion as to what modernization funding was meant for. So. If there is comments, the modernization piece would be going to county at our next meeting, which is next Wednesday. And the same with the climate action plan pieces, those would be going to county council for final decision next Wednesday.
Thank you. Is there any more questions or discussion on the county councillor's report? Councillor Maiden.
I just want to thank you for a very comprehensive report. That was great. I just had a couple of questions. I may have heard this already, but I've forgotten. Have they chosen a location for the new Lanark Lodge?
No, they haven't. There's not even the size of the new build has been decided. If, for example, they were to go with the option of a partnership with a not-for-profit, it could mean that there's a situation sort of similar to what's happened with the Fairview Manor at the hospital. That's a non-for-profit. The Lanark County is obliged to have a home. They're not necessarily obliged to have a certain number of beds, but they're obliged to have a home. So if they were to decide they want less beds than they have now, then they'd have to apply to the ministry that those beds be given to another another facility. If they want to have more beds, they would have to apply to have more beds. It would also mean we have to come up with more money. It's costing us $2.5 million just operating yearly as is. So very early in this stages, we don't know the size, we don't know the place, we don't know what kind of structure. Yeah, very, very early. And we're actually broadening it rather than narrowing the beam at this point.
Go ahead.
I think you answered my second question pretty well, but maybe you could speak a little bit more about, because we have a modernization fund as well, about your vision of what opportunities there are in your view.
We had talked about this, I think, at our last meeting in December. I had really hoped that the CAOs would have taken the opportunity at the CAO's meeting to have some conversations. CAO Kelly and I had spoken a few times too. We all plow snow. You know, is there a way that we could be doing that a little bit differently? Would it make sense that we do all our roads within Mississippi Mills and Lanark County pays us for it? Does that mean they'd need less of a fleet or less drivers? What would the impact be for us? Would there be a net gain in terms of service, or would there be a net loss in terms of service? Like there's things like that we could look at. One of the things is, as everyone knows at this table, the cost of salt. Is there a different way we could be applying salt? Is there a different alternative that we could be using for salt? So some of those things that we're all doing, if we worked together on that and had an opportunity to realize some savings over years, I think that's what I would rather see. With the county having 725, I'd rather that we don't spend 725. I'd rather that we make some decisions to try to recuperate as much money as we can from those decisions. And again, not to say any of those projects aren't excellent ones. I think they are all great projects, but we all need lawyers. Does it make sense to have a lawyer with lower tiers? The county doesn't have fire service, but with lower tiers, does it make sense for us to be collaborating more with shared service agreements, those kinds of things? I think we're on the right track doing the service delivery review. That'll identify some areas that we need to focus on, and that is one of the things that Minister Clark had outlined in his letter to us. And again, not to say that any of those projects aren't great. I think they are all great projects. I just personally don't feel they fall into what the ministry has indicated they're looking for. So,
Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Well, I'd just like to thank our two county reps for not jumping right on board with the $725,000. And I think from what the mayor just said, the modernization, and I've read a fair bit into it, and it is exactly that, thinking outside the box a little bit. And I don't think the use of the $300,000 that Councillor Deputy Mayor Minnelli referenced is thinking inside the bar, outside the box too much. And again, shared services and the opportunity of working together are things that I think should be happening with the eventual goal of cost reduction. And that's what I've read into the modernization funding, and I don't see that in a $725,000 distribution.
Okay, if there's nothing else, we'll move on down the list. The MVCA authority report, there's none. I need a mover and a seconder to receive the information list tonight. Councillor Maiden, Councillor Holmes, all in favor? Oh, is there anything to pull from the list first? Mayor Lowry?
I don't want to pull it. I just want to highlight the media release from the MVCA. It's just giving a little bit of information about what the Special Advisory Committee is doing that's been tasked with exploring options for the future of the museums at the Mill of Kintail. And the reason I wanted to highlight that is just for people to have it on their radar that there will be opportunities coming up for public input and public discussion. It'll probably be early in February that occurs, so I just wanted to highlight that and have it be on people's radar that'll be coming up.
Councillor Maiden?
Yeah, I'd like a question on that particular one. Have there been dates set yet for that? No. Thanks.
Anybody else? Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Number two and number four. And I'm realizing that number four is not in vogue until 2023 type of thing, but by the same token, there is a discussion about 2020. Just so it... And I don't know much about it. Who was actually the full producer taking responsibility? You know, that's the type of thing. I've read this through, but it doesn't identify that. So that's kind of why I'd like some discussion on it in advance of the years down the road. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Holmes? Councillor Holmes, can you turn your microphone on, please?
Sorry. So number four, changes to the Developmental Charges Act. Or it's number seven, sorry. I wonder about what impact this will have on us being able to meet our municipal expenses.
Councillor Maiden.
Yeah, I think we needed to pull... those same ones, I'd have the number 2, 4, and 7 as well, because 7, it talks about municipalities charging interest, you know, if we're allowing developers to go ahead and not, they don't have to pay until occupancy and stuff. There's kind of strange statements in there like, oh, there's no maximum interest that you can charge or something like that. And I thought, well, that's strange. And I'm thinking for that and for the blue box, because the blue box, I'm thinking of like how we do our blue box with, we have paper, plastics, glass, and so forth. This one's sort of focusing on paper products. And I'm wondering, I think a lot of those reports or a lot of those statements are going to need staff reports or staff analysis to come back to us. But we can talk about that next council, I guess.
Okay.
Councillor Holmes.
Yeah. I think also number 3, the natural gas expansion support program. I'm not sure how relevant it is to our area, but certainly from an agricultural point of view and those farmers who run very expensive dryers, right now using propane. They sure would love some natural gas. So I'm just wondering at how viable it is for us to take up that project.
Okay. All in favor of receiving the information list? You're good? Okay, I was carried then. Meeting calendars. Any errors, omissions, or additions? Councillor Gerard.
Sorry, I'm trying to remember, but on the 20th, there was we were invited to go to something to do with children. It was in Carlton Place. That was brought up at, pardon me? Planet Youth, yes. That was, it was supposed to be on the 20th at 7 o'clock in Carlton Place.
Anything else? We're good with this? Okay, we'll move on down to J, pending list. Any errors, omissions, or additions? None said. I need a mover and a seconder for adjournment. Mayor Lowry, Councillor Ferguson, all in favor. We are adjourned.
Good job, Councillor Lowry.
Thank you.